have been dealing with that. And certainly last week was a very, very interesting session. So many discussion points and questions. And we got to that in such a way that we weren't even able to finish it. And I think we said or agreed that Sister Jeanette is going to come back and have a look at that. So we was looking about the flesh, weren't we? We were talking about the flesh, and pretty much that's what we've been dealing with in Galatians. Where Paul turned around and he said, who bewitched you? Paul had planted a church, and he was putting a letter across because he'd heard some stuff that had been going on, and they'd kind of turned away from the spirit. And so we asked the question, who bewitched you? I mean, it's a very strong term. And I know Sister Janetta touched on that a little bit. But what I want to do this evening is kind of just, build on that a little bit. Who bewitched you? What's caused you? Who's caused you to turn away from the spirit? Who's caused you to go back into the flesh? So in terms of this evening's lesson, the title is Instructions for Christian Living. It's the last chapter. It's chapter 6 in Galatians. And those of you who know me, when I'm teaching, I kind of like an interaction. I really don't like a kind of lecturing type of style. I like to pose questions and make it relevant as we're going along. And feel free. I think Brother Adrian already said, that if you've got a question or you want to say something, say it through the chat and then we can pick it up. But please do feel comfortable. Don't sit as if, you're just waiting for somebody to tell you exactly what everything is, because Mr. Jackson doesn't know everything. But what I do know that I study my word, and I will put that across as best as I can. But feel free to get into a conversation and a discussion. So I'm just going to really just I want to just dive into this. So the Christian says in Central Truth, he said the Christians are called to live for God and to demonstrate his goodness. And this evening's focus, he says, consider and follow Paul's instructions for Christian living. The golden text is taken from Galatians 6, verse 9, and it's actually one of my favorites. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. It doesn't mean that if you're doing well that you're going to get something straight away in due season. And when we think about the seasons, we got four seasons, and it just really means that in due time, you will reap if we faint not. There are three outlines. It says about burden bearing, persevere in doing good, and glory in the cross. So let us begin. It says here in today's lesson, Paul is concluding his personal letter to the Galatians. In the previous chapters, the Holy Spirit inspired his powerful argument against the Judaizers. These false teachers from Jerusalem had followed Paul around in his ministry and discouraged his new converts by teaching that Gentiles had to become Jewish proselytes through circumcision before they could become Christians. They had corrupted some of the believers in Galatia, and Paul's letter was written to help the church know how to deal with this situation. And when I read that a little bit earlier, I thought, my goodness, these are Christians. Everybody's on the side of the Lord, and yet these people are walking around him and following him and contradicting him. Yet they're supposed to be on the same side. That kind of made me smile. It says in the portion of chapter 6, Paul instructs the church how to care for fellow believers. And that's from verses 1 to 6. It says in the second part, Paul explains how to do good to others, both inside and outside of the community of faith. And then in 7, and that's in 7 and 10. And in the final portion of the chapter, the apostle tells the Galatians how to live as new creation through faith and grace and not by works of the flesh. So that's the outline. So he says, so we're going to go straight into the lesson. And so the first one is about burden bearing and restoring the weak and the fallen is the subtitle. So it says in verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, if you could imagine, Paul has been throughout the whole of this this book, throughout Galatians, up to 5. He's been speaking, or he had this epistle, this letter that he'd written, and he's literally saying to these guys, listen, come on, you need to turn back. And he's encouraging them. So my question to you is, what do you see in Paul? When we've looked at 5 and we look at this particular scripture, what qualities do we see in Paul that we as Christians can emulate? What do we see in Paul here? One thing we see in Paul is that he's on his own. Doesn't give me the impression that there's many people around him, that he's been encouraged by many other people. Paul is full of faith. He knows who God is. He knows who his God is. And so we see him speaking to the people that he know that he left and he deposited something great in them. He deposited something great and wonderful in them. He knows what he did. But then he's heard that they're straying. So Paul comes back to them. What qualities are we seeing? What are the qualities?
I think one of the things that kind of strikes me, and it's kind of ironic, because before you came on, we were talking about Richard's allotment and growing plants and how that relates to in some way to the walk. And I kind of feel like Paul is kind of like a father figure, but it's kind of like he is cultivating these churches. He's going back and he's checking on the foundation that was laid, the seed that he's sown, and he's constantly going back and checking to see how the growth is going, and he's correcting things where they're going the wrong way. So that's what I see, is a cultivator, not just the planter, but he's encouraged. He's a father figure, but he's also kind of like a gardener, husbandman type person. He's constantly going back and checking on people and making sure that the growth is going in the right direction.
Thank you for that, Brother Adrian. Thank you for that. There's always a cultivator. Interesting word, cultivator. Father figure, as well as a father figure, is somebody that when we align it to, maybe in farming, you align it to that he goes back and he keeps on nurturing and he keeps on going back and he keeps on pruning and building and equipping and informing. So that's a fantastic one to get us off. Is there anybody else that can have, who has another thought?
Richard had put steadfast.
Steadfast. Elaborate, Richard.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because the way I never saw it before. The people who were with him, they were contradicting him. So, but he was still with them, even though they were walking with him. So he's like, he's got all these like noise in his head, I suppose, for want of a better word. But yet he's resolute on what he's gonna do. He knows what he's gonna do, what he's gonna say. It's very, you'd have to be very steadfast and resolute in what you're doing, because that's like this, it's almost like his discouragement all day you got with you.
Yeah.
Or contradicting you, or it's like you're always fighting something, or like you say something, somebody's battling against you. It'd be, to me, that'd wear me down, man.
Yeah. But where, you see, the thing for me is when I see, you know, throughout these sort of 5 chapters, and as we enter into chapter 6, you know, we kind of come into the grand finale, and he's not moved. He knows who his God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, Where's his trust? Is it in his flesh? He's leading by example. He talks about the flesh and the spirit constantly through the whole of this book. And he is leading by example, that he's not leaning on his flesh. He's leaning on God. And no other way would he be able to make this statement. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, let's have a look what this says. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He's literally saying, what I am doing, I want you to do. So he's talking to the people. Because what could have happened, or what could happen sometimes, is there are a group of people that has fell. So I want us to kind of connect this in our own lives. There are some people that are not quite doing things the way they should be doing. And what can happen sometimes as Christians, we can then measure ourselves off the back of those people. And in our own selves, we can feel really great about ourselves and start to, I'm going to use the word, big up ourselves. I think there was a word used in the notes here, and it uses the word high-mindedness. So we can feel really great about ourselves until pride now starts to come to itself. But Paul ain't really talking to the people that has that stepped out of line or has lost their way. He's talking to those who are okay. They haven't fell. But he's saying, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are saved, ye who knows the Lord, like I do, like Paul, he's saying, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Chill out, because you don't know when you can, it could be you. Every single one of us are facing this every day. So, you know, we have to look at people when they are struggling and going through stuff and sinning. We have to look at them in a way that Jesus saw us. How did Jesus see us? See, Jesus was sat in his high place and saw our need and came down. Now, Jesus could have come and judged us, but didn't come. Jesus didn't judge us. Jesus came down alongside us and walked alongside us and with us and showed us how to walk, how to conduct ourselves. And that's what God is saying to us, in my mind, and this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, don't judge them. Come up alongside them. Support them. Help them. Guide them. Direct them. Pray for them. Visit them. Amen? He says, considering thyself, lest thee also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear each other's burdens. Recognize the struggle that people are going through. Recognize the heaviness. And how can you help them? How can you help to carry that burden? Amen. I don't know if there's any, again, please feel free. If there's anything that anybody wants to kind of, you know, as I'm speaking, you know, if there's anything anybody wants to say, please feel free. I'll give you a moment. I'll give you a moment.
Yeah. Can I just say something here, Joe? That I think in what Paul's saying here, in terms of restoring people, and he mentions at the end of that verse about, you know, temptation, he's acknowledging that he's human and that us, you know, and you talked about, you know, being puffed off in pride, but we have to recognize that even in restoring those who have fallen, you know, into error, that we are prone to fall. So that's why, you know, we do that in that spirit of meekness. It should never be from the sort of standpoint that, well, we're okay, you know, we haven't fallen, we're living right. You know, I think Paul here is acknowledging, as much as a strong character and resolute as he is, but, you know, we know in Romans, you know, he tells us there in chapter 7, That's when he'd want to do the right thing, he was finds himself doing the wrong thing. So he's acknowledging he's a human. He has his battles with the flesh, and hence, you know, he could also fall. So when we're restoring somebody, we must be mindful of that and do it, you know, from a point of view, brother, a point of view as a brother or sister in the spirit of meekness. I think that's important.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor. So let us go over. We're in verse 3. It says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Considering, and the subtitle here says, he says, considering yourself. So he says, the spiritually strong should not become haughty or high-minded, and we kind of touched on that before, and therefore not help to restore the weak. Think of ourselves of highly than we ought to, will trap us in the sin of pride. Proverbs 16 and 18 warns, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul said, if the person who has such a high opinion of themselves would look at the facts that they would discover, look at the facts, they would discover they are nothing and are only deceiving themselves. The apostle warned the Christian, do not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what does that mean, thinking highly of yourself? What comes to mind as I pose that question? Thinking highly of yourself. What would make you think highly of yourself?
Pride.
Pride?
Arrogance.
Where would it come from? The Christian. The
flesh.
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 So it would come from the flesh. And what would it would demonstrate? So once you think highly of yourself, does that mean that we believe whatever has been done, our success is based on what we have done and not what Christ has done? Thinking highly of yourself. I'm just posing that as a question. What do you reckon?
It's kind of like having confidence in the flesh, isn't it? It's like... you kind of get to a point where you think that I will never do such and such a thing. Okay. And so you feel like you can talk to people in a certain way because I will never stoop so low. But, you know, when we really think about it, all of us have got our weak points. All of us have got areas in our lives where, given the right circumstances, we're going to be sorely tempted and may even fall. And, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, Paul is just really it's reiterating to us that no matter what you think of me in terms of my status in the faith, that's me too. So none of us have got a platform whereas we can feel like we've attained or we've got to where, you know, we can't be corrected or, you know, can't take correction or can't be told that we're in the wrong sometimes. So we just have to be careful.
Yes, thanks. Thank you for that, Adrian. Thank you for that. It says, "For if a man think himself to be something, thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." When he thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So let every man prove his own work, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. But every man shall bear his own burden. Anybody got any thoughts around that? Any thoughts around that section of scripture?
Every man.
No? It says here, a critic might use. So if you look at this particular scripture, and when you look at verse 2, it could give an impression that there's a contradiction, because it starts to talk about let every man, you know, for every man shall bear his own burden. But this I've got, there's a section here. He said, a critic might use Galatians 6:2-5 to attempt to show the scripture is contradictory. Verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens. And verse 5 instructs the believer to bear his own burden. However, the apparent contradiction is clarified by verses 3 and 4. The Lord expects stronger Christians to do both tasks. Both tasks. Bear your own, and even in your weakness, to bear up others. That's, you know, when the Bible says that we're peculiar people, that's the principle that's coming out of that. Because the world generally, you know, I wait until I'm strong. And if I'm strong, I might do something positive to somebody else. But in this, as a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, you may well be struggling, but your strength is not in you. Your strength is in the Lord. And so because your strength is in the Lord, others may see you and know your condition and your situation, but they're blown away by how you look, knowing that you're going through stuff. So I just wanted to just, you know, remind somebody this evening that sometimes we're going through madness. We're going through crazy stuff, but we're not keeping ourselves. God's keeping us. And whilst God's keeping us, God strengthens us. He equips us. He builds us. He encourages us. And we then, you know, when we come amongst others, we don't try and do nothing. We're just being ourselves, and people are blessed just by our very presence. Just by our presence. So he says, so I want somebody to just be reminded. He says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. So as we're going through, we're helping others to go through. Amen?
Amen.
Even in this time of pandemic, yes. Even when there's so much uncertainty about, one thing we're certain of is that Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still on his throne. He is still healing, even in this crazy time that we're in. He's turning stuff around. He's keeping people. He's you know, when the doctors are saying one thing and tests us, and then you still feel great and wonderful, but they're telling you there's a problem. You know, I want us to believe that, you know, this is the prime time for Jesus to demonstrate who he is. The more crazy it gets, the more you will see Christ. You will see Jesus, trust me. If you ain't seen him good yet, I'm telling you. Amen. And so this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, listen, doesn't matter. If I'm going through some stuff, if you're going through some stuff, don't watch it. You can still help people, even if you're going through some stuff. And that's what he's saying here to these people. Don't be high-minded. Don't be full of yourself. Humble up yourself. Know who it is that is keeping you. And give support to those who are struggling. Amen. Verse 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So what do we think this section of scripture could mean? It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that is teacheth in all good things. What does communicate mean in this context?
To share all things. To share all good
things. I think it has implications of discipleship. You know, it's not just verbal communication, but it's, you know, yes, it includes that, but living by example and discipling, I would say.
Okay. So he says, so let him that is taught in the word communicate. So spend time with, be around, help and support.
Is that verse 6 we're looking at?
Yes, verse 6.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the Amplified Version. It says, the one who is taught the word and it says of God in brackets, is to share all good things with his teacher, and then in brackets it says contributing to his spiritual and material support. Is that at the Amplified, that is? So it's like a whole, it's a wholesome thing, isn't it?
That's it.
It's wholesome. It's not just in word, it's in word and deed. Do something and say something and do something.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Pastor. Is there anybody else that maybe just probably one other person that's got a thought around this? If not, okay, so it says, Paul reminds the church to take care of the Bible teachers financially. The word communicate here means to share with others. Evidently, there were still faithful teachers and preachers among the Galatians who were preaching and teaching the gospel, as Paul had done among them initially, and he wanted the church to help meet their material needs. So exactly what you said, Rich, you know, he said it's a wholesome thing. You know, supporting and giving support to those who are building you up, those who are teaching, you know. So we're talking about support, whether it be prayer, whether it be material things. He said, we just recognize that we must value those people. Amen. Any other thoughts before I move on? Are we good? Okay, so we're going to move on to the second outline. Persevere in doing good. Big word, persevere. What does that mean? Persevere. I haven't got a dictionary, so somebody may have a dictionary, but I haven't got a dictionary. What does persevere mean? Persevere in doing good.
Does it mean to keep going?
Keep going,
no matter what. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going despite what's in the way, despite what's coming against you, despite who's talking about you, despite what the enemy is doing and what the enemy is putting in your way, despite all of those things, persevere in doing good. Thank you for that, Sister Barbara. So it says, I'm going to read from 7, verse 7 through to 9. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So Paul is saying, you know, don't get caught up and be not deceived. He says, God is not mocked. God is no fool. God sees everything. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you do shall come back to you. So if you do evil, evil will come back. But equally, if you do good, good shall come back. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that does evil shall receive evil. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, eternal life. So we should be living in the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Reminding these people in Galatia, the Galatian church, he's saying, listen, you be reminded that you've got to live in the Spirit. So easy sometimes when stuff comes around us and you know, things are happening in, you know, and we can see them. But Paul is saying, you've got to return back to the faith. You've got to return back to that place where you cannot, you know who your God is. You've got to get back to that place where you are faithful to God. He says, and so let us not be weary. Because sometimes if you get so wrapped up in the flesh, you can become so weary. You know, you can be so tired. It seems like you're doing all these things. You're doing some positive things. You're trying to do the right things. But nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to be, there don't seem to be any leeway. There don't seem to be any openings. It just seems to be like literally day after day. I'm trying to do it right, but it's still very, very tough. But he said, but don't get weary. in doing the right thing. Don't get weary. And let us not be weary in well-doing. We've got to persevere despite what comes our way. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Any thoughts? Anything anybody wants to add? If you're happy for me to go on, we can carry on. But if there's something that came to somebody's mind, please share. I'll just give you a moment.
I think, Joe, sometimes it's difficult to deal with discouragement when you're tired, when you're burned out. You know, you've been going at it, and you're literally burned out, and you need some encouragement to go on. So this is, you know, not just encouragement from the Word of God, but encouragement from the brethren is necessary at times to just help you to recognize, yes, I'm on the right path. And when things are coming against you, you need that encouragement from the brethren.
Okay, I hear you, Sister Jen, and you're absolutely right. You know, the Bible talks about how we are brother's keeper, and ultimately, that's what we should be. You know, I think I read it somewhere. I'm not even sure. It's in here somewhere. I think I've seen one of the notes. You know, but it talks about that we shoot each other in the church. That's what it makes reference to. It. We're in a war. We're in the same army, but we sometimes shoot each other.
Friendly fire.
But you know, I think the time, that we're talking about, Paul is saying this, and I'm trying to build you up here. I'm trying to get you to fully grasp and understand who you are in Christ. Not in Joe Jackson or Janetta Brown. Who are you in Christ? That's what Paul is saying. Who are you? He's saying, yes, there's. I know that you were outside the will of God. I know you've just come to know the Lord. I know all of those things. But I've already said to you, you've got to live in the Spirit. So I want you to return to the Spirit. And when we can return to the Spirit, this is my take on it, Sister Jen. When we're living in the Spirit, I know even though sometimes we can go through some stuff, when we're living in the Spirit, God keeps us. God will keep us. You know that there are people sometimes, if they feel, if they continue to make you feel weary, that you eventually will just fall down and die and just disappear. But they are shocked because you're still standing. You're still standing, not because you're standing in yourself. You're not standing in your own intellect. You're not standing in your own quality. We probably used to think that's what it was about. But God is saying, Paul is saying, no. You're standing in Jesus Christ. You're standing in the Spirit. So he says, so whilst we're standing in the Spirit, we can now persevere. And we will reap. Sometimes we bail out because the thing that we're looking for, because we're trying to do stuff and we want some feedback, and feedback ain't coming. And then we've got a problem. We're struggling because the feedback, you know. So are we really doing it for the right reason in the first place? That's a question I'm posing. I believe the greatest quality that the Christian must have when they become born again is that they become a giver, because you're no longer the supplier of your own needs. God is, according to his riches in glory. We're not here to supply our own needs. We're supposed to give even out of our emptiness. We give out of our emptiness. Because that's the peculiar child of God. That's what makes us peculiar. That's what turns the world around. Because sometimes we're acting and behaving like the world. The world does stuff to get stuff. We do stuff because it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. Amen. I just mean one guy said, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just serious. I'm just saying that's the child of God. You know, perseverance doesn't necessarily mean that you're huffing and puffing. It just means that I'm still going to trust God. God, I can't see. I've only got the £20 and the man's asked me for £10. next door. He ain't got no light being like, you know, and I've got my own thing. I've only got my Twitter. You know what? I'm gonna give him the £10. I mean, look on his face and I saw the pain and the hurt. I saw it. And I saw I'm just gonna do the best that I can. And you know, when we move in that spirit, God moves mightily. I'm serious. God moves mightily. But when you go so and you're so fearful, Lord, this is only 20 pound, God, I can't give that. Dare not give this to anybody. Boy, come and got my own bill, me can't me do. Once we start into that mode, fear comes in. Yeah. And when fear grips us, remember that God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So it came from somewhere. Who is it that wants us to live in fear? Who benefits if we are living in fear? If fear comes, something, there's an entity that benefits, and we know his name. That's where fear comes from. But Paul is saying, perseverance, you shall reap if you faint not. Continue to do the good work, despite what's going on around you. You continue to do the good work. You continue to stay in the spirit. Amen. Let me move over. So it says in here, it says verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto some men.
All.
Some.
Everyone.
Everyone. The same people that come from your district?
No, all.
Just the people who come from your family? Just the people that's got the same kind of thought processes? We're kind of on the same agenda? No. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Why does it say especially unto those who are in the household of faith? Why do you think that is? Why do you think Paul says that? Any takers?
Because we sharpen one another, Joe.
Sharpen one another. Thank you, Brother Barry. So we sharpen one another.
We build up one another.
We build up one another. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the people in the church, especially to the believers, unto them who are the household of faith. Is there any other thoughts? Anybody? Thanks, Barry. Is there anybody else?
Joe, I just want to just get back to, you know, where you mentioned about don't get weary in well-doing.
Yes, sir. But
then we went on back to say, come and say, to do good all the time. So where we get weary in well-doing, I believe, is when we doing so much just to show that we're doing good.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. So it's not the right motives.
That's right.
It's not the right motives. We're doing it, and potentially what we're doing, we're not probably getting the feedback, so we become weary.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Barry. And so we go back to verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And I think that's key. Let us do good unto all men. Christians and people who do not know the Lord, let us do good unto all men. And he says, especially, not discounting, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Why? Any other takers?
It's a witness to the world.
Witness. See, do you want to add anything else? Adrian, are you cool? Cool with that?
Yeah, I'll leave it.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm just looking at it like this, that, you know, you've got a brother or a sister in the kingdom. You don't know who they are. you don't know the situation that they're dealing with at home. You don't know they may have come, they come from a big family, and that person may be the only person that's saved, and potentially is the only person with a glimmer of hope for that household. But they're in a household of faith, and they're going through some stuff. In these days, what we see drugs, we see gangs, we see all kinds of stuff going on. That person could be like, you know, at their wit's end, they're talking to people and they come back into the church. Imagine that that person keeps on going to the altar every week. And we don't know why she's going to the altar every week. But I've heard it said, I'm going to be honest, lad, how much time she can go at the altar? Every week she's gone at the altar. We don't know. We don't know. So the same person goes, so boy, look how much time she's gone at the altar. Supposing they waited till after church and said, sis, how's things? How's it going? And she says, I'm all right. I'm okay. And you can look in her eyes and you see tears in her eyes. And even though her mouth said, I'm okay, everything else is saying, no, you're not. And you being the child of God who Paul's talking to here says, come, let's go out for dinner. Let's go out for a meal. It's on me today. Come. And when we have that mindset, become that brother's keeper, when we do good to those that are in the kingdom, they can go back to their situation and they can be that light. You have given an opportunity to build up that person, and that person can be a light unto those that they are in connection with. So as Adrian said, he talked about that they can be a witness. And when we can build up one another, we can go into our separate abodes, our different areas, our different concerns, our different workspaces, our family units, and we can be a light of hope to other people just because of the encouragement that we give one another. Amen.
Joe, there's also a scripture that said that by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another.
Amen.
So when we're loving on people and we're showing people how much we care and all, it's also, like Adrian said, is a witness to the world.
Amen.
And also, Joe, that's how God speaks. He speaks through people, doesn't he? Amen. You know, so if you know, say someone's there praying for something, the answer will probably come through another Christian person. Absolutely. You know, because that's how God speaks.
That's right.
As well.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I just want to join with that to say we should be his arm. The songwriter says we should be his arm, his arm extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed.
Thank you, Barry. Can always depend on Barry coming out with a tune. Barry. Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm not making light of you. I'm serious. You know, thanks, Barry. You know. So I'm just conscious of time. So we're going to move on to the last outline. And this says glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Glory in the cross. Paul's personal salutation. And so this is verse 11. And he says, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. What do we think Paul is saying there? He's coming to a close. From chapter 1 through to 5 and up to this point in chapter 6, Paul has been encouraging these people. But what does he mean here? You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. What's he inferring? What's he saying?
He cares so much for you, man.
Amen.
He poured out his heart.
Sorry, who's that? Sorry.
Barbara, he poured out his heart.
Poured out his heart. He's making them know, listen, I love you. I love you. He's saying, I love you. Look at the extent. He said, listen, you see how large a letter I've written unto you. I care about you so much. I care about you so much. I'm passionate about you walking the correct way. I'm so passionate. I'll do whatever it takes. And the thing they were talking about, when you're looking at some of the notes, and it was saying that that Paul had gone up in age by this time, and they were making up all kinds of reasons potentially what he meant by the large letter and whatever, and they were saying because his eyes were dim and things along those lines, and he had to write big so that he could see, you know. But and you know, yeah, it could well be, but I would like to think what he was saying, listen, I love you so much. I love you so much. I've took time out for you.
Yes.
I want you to know that I love you, and that I don't care how things may seem, I'm with you. If you need any help, I'm here for you. It doesn't have to do it in the crowd. It may be in the car park at New Church Center when everybody gone. Nobody else don't know your business, just you. I'm here for you. This is what Paul is saying.
And also, Joe, he's also saying it's emphasizing the importance of what he's writing, the content. It's just like when we write things, and if we want something to stand out, we put it in large letters, don't we? So it's the importance of actually what he's trying to say to the people, how important it is, you know. So
it's the great emphasis. You're emphasizing that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. A great reminder, because that's so true. You write it in big letters to make sure that the person don't miss it.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think also, Brother Joe, he's actually kind of backing up what he said earlier, because he's talking about the fact that, you know, let's not grow weary. Let's look after the household of faith. So in him taking the time to write the letter, you know, in this big writing, he's actually showing in action what he's actually been writing about. Does that make sense? Because actions speak louder than words. So the fact that he's taken the time out to do it shows that really he's kind of building up the brethren, sharing the burdens, you know, being there as well.
Amen. Thanks, Sister Cassandra. Thanks for that input. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay. We're going to go on to 12. It says, salvation by faith. It says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Okay, quite a lengthy passage, but let's strip this down. What's happening here, Bible readers? Talk to me. What's happening? What's happening? Salvation by faith.
He's recapping some of the topics that he spoke about earlier on in the book, like chapter 3. It talks about where it kind of brings in the kind of theme about these Judaizers coming in. So in summary, he's kind of recapping some of the points that he raised earlier and just reinforcing them to say, you know, these people that are trying to lead you astray, they're hypocrites. What they're asking of you is something that they're not even able to do themselves.
No.
But, you know, his faith is in the finished work of Christ. You know, he's boasting the cross, not in anything that you can do of the flesh, because ultimately it's futile. It's not going to meet the mark. But, you know, we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen, Brother Adrian. It says, as many as desire to make a fair show of the flesh, they constrain you, they hold you up, they slow you down, they give a sense of distraction to you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But neither they themselves are circumcised, keep the law, like you said, Brother Adrian. You know, sometimes we, you know, and that's why we've got to be so careful. You know, we have to be able to discern those that are around us. For saying that, even though these guys are saying, you know, they're acting very holy, on the face of it, it sounds really great, and it sounds like it's something that we should be doing because that's what we did from the times of Moses. He's saying they themselves aren't keeping the law. And you know, and when I look at this, I think about it in the context of sometimes you can get caught up in men and forget who God is. You know, they may say that they represent God, but we're caught up in the individuals and forget that there is a God over those individuals. He said, for neither themselves are circumcised to keep the law, but it's a desire, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So Paul, his trust is completely in the cross, as Brother Adrian said. And so, you know, the question I want to pose here, as we, you know, we've got about 13 minutes, something along those lines, in terms of the time that we're scheduled to finish. If we want to have a conversation, then you know, Adrian can guide us on that, you know, beyond our past state. But we're looking at how Paul is saying, you know what, all of these other things are distractions. Sometimes we're caught up in the distractions and forget about the cross. And Paul brings them back to the cross. Talk to me. What is this cross? What is it? Can we remind ourselves? Why is the cross so important, Brother Barry? Why is the cross so important?
It just reminds me of this scripture, Joe, that says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what the cross means.
Jesus died on the cross for us, that we could be saved, that we should have salvation. And we know that, you know, there are some of us, we can't even tell nobody some of our deepest situations that we've been through. But for the grace of God, you know, and Paul, when you look at who Paul is, Paul says, listen, this is the same geezer, the same guy, sorry, the same person, right? That was standing around when they were stoning Stephen, and they threw their coats right next to his feet, and he kind of watched over it. It's the same guy that was on the horse on his way to Damascus, and Jesus knocked him off his horse. And he turns around and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Jesus never introduced himself. And I look at that, you know, I'm not going to get too bogged down in that. When I think about that little piece of section there, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And I kind of, in my own mind, feel to myself like that he knew Jesus, but he was fighting it. Mm-hmm. He knew God. And I believe some people can know God, but they're fighting it. Satan is fighting them. Now look at this very man. This man planted so many churches, and he is the guy that was trying to kill the Christians because they were believers in Christ. And he's saying, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a turnaround. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, nothing. He said, I'm a new creature. People of God, you are new creatures.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people, as Christians say, as a summit time. Aristomikon. What does that mean?
I haven't changed.
You kiss your teeth, you cut your eye.
Refuse.
Vex up. You ain't got a problem telling people how it is. Aristomikon. No. You're changed. You're changed. The power of life and death is in your tongue. When you make that statement, don't you think Satan's listening? Am I rubbing? Oh, gosh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, that one. No. Aristomikon. And Paul is saying, no. You're a new creature.
Yeah.
You're changed. Man and woman of God that is on this Zoom call, you are changed. You're changed. No matter what anybody wants to tell you, you're changed. By God's grace, you've changed. No circumcision, you're changed. The blood of Jesus, you're changed. Salvation from the cross, you're changed. Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, you are changed. And his ascension, you are changed. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And so the last, I'll go to the very last one, it's 17. And it says, from henceforth, it says, great, gracious conclusion. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Any thoughts? Just this last two.
Is he talking about the wounds that were, you know, that he was afflicted on him, you know, while he was persecuted by the, you know, by those who were, you know, by the persecutors. So he's talking about the marks that he has on himself, you know, because he's actually stood up and said, you know, that he's a follower of Christ, you know, and he's been persecuted. So he's talking about himself there, about the marks that he's actually bore himself.
That's it.
Could it be that?
Yeah. And that's exactly, Sister Sonia.
Yeah.
We're thinking about this guy, Paul. Saul, turn to Paul, the chief persecutor, the chief murderer. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Paul is now a child of God, but he still had to suffer persecution and hurt and harm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being a Christian, you know, ain't easy. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer, but we've got to stay in the race. And the only way we can stay in the race is trusting God. Trusting Jesus, trusting that what he did on the cross was not just for then, it's for now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
I think sometimes, Joe, as Christian, we believe that we're exempt from suffering. I think, sometimes we got a false sense of, you know, because I'm a child of God, because I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me, then I'm exempt. And so when a Christian today is going through some stuff, sometimes people want to ask the question, well, what kind of a sin have they committed? Why this is happening to them? But that's a lack of understanding that you don't have to do anything wrong for the devil to attack you.
And it could also be a test.
Amen.
And it could be a test. But you know, the point I'm trying to make is that we shouldn't believe that because we're a child of God, then we're exempt from any of the stuff that happened, because we're still in a fallen world. Mm.
Amen.
Paul confirmed that and said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, made conformable unto his death. And that's why Paul was so close to Christ.
Amen.
Also as well, Joe, it's like when you're going through situations, it strengthens you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So all these things come, you know what I mean? If you have faith and you believe, truly, truly believe, then you'll have more strength when you're going through the situations.
Build of character, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the old saying is no test, no testimony.
Yeah.
And I think you know, as we are, you know, getting ready to close, you know, it's about just reminding ourselves who Paul was. I asked the question about the characters, the characteristics, the personality. What was his character traits? What was it that was about him? The very same passion that he had as a persecutor of the Christians, God used that very same person and turned him around. And he used that very same person, passion to plant churches and to keep encouraging the saints. And I'm saying, you know, that you know, we want to just, you know, meditate on this, on these five chapters of Galatians. Meditate on it and look at who this man Paul is. Who is he? And how do I now, as a child of God that studied these verses and chapters over the last few weeks, how do I seek to emulate Paul? How do I seek to do that? I'm happy to have a conversation. I'm more or less finished, you know. But if there are any thoughts that people have, or the you know, things that they, experiences that they have had, and they've, you know, and you know, they've probably felt bewildered a little bit. Feel, you know, this is family. You know, this is family, and you know, let's heal one another. Let's help one another. So if there's any thoughts, no?
I was just going to add, we were talking about Paul and about his character and his ability to kind of continue to strengthen people. And, you know, he kind of refers again and again to suffering for Christ's sake. You know, it's part of his calling that he was called to suffer. And his conversion in Acts 9, verse 16, I think it is, says, I will show him, this is God talking to Ananias, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So even in his calling, in his initial coming into the body of Christ, you know, suffering is mentioned. But I think, as you said, there about the building of character, you know, it helped to build him and to make him the man that he was, everything that he kind of went through for Christ's name's sake. And I think that's what gave him the strength to be able to continue to kind of bounce back after every setback, and you know, when he seen things going awry, it didn't take him off course, but he, you know, continued to persevere. And that's something that, you know, I want to take away from Paul's life this evening, is that, you know, the more that you go through, it strengthens you in your walk, and it should make you more determined. Rather than to deter you, it should make you more determined to persevere to the end.
Because your trust isn't in you.
Yeah.
Your trust is not in perishable things.
Mm-hmm.
Your trust is in the eternal one.
Also, Joe, same with Paul as well. He's the right character, and you've got people outside who's not saved, and you want to talk to them. You know what I mean? They're going through difficulties, and you'll say, Jesus, and a lot of them will say, nah, I've gone too far, I've done too much. You know what I mean? I can't go to church, or I'm doing this, or I'm smoking at the moment, I can't go to church. I'll go when I'm ready. And I think Paul's a perfect character to go and let them know, person, like, I mean, where he's come from, who he was, and what he'd done, and all of the books that he's written. Do you know what I mean? That there's nobody out there who's a write-off.
Absolutely, Debs. Yes. I'm not a write-off.
Amen.
I'm not a write-off.
Amen.
Yes. Right. Thanks for the feedback, guys. Adrian, you know, over to you. you guys, I don't know if you, how you normally carry the rest of this. Did you finish or what is this discussion?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the discussion is good, I think. But correct me if I'm wrong, Grace or Sister Sadia, I think we're good for another 10 minutes if needs be. Yeah. I'm all right there.
Yeah.
So if people want to continue to talk, that's fine. We usually close off in prayer. So yeah, if people are up to it, if they feel like that's okay, we can spend another 5 minutes just talking, just sharing, and then we'll close in prayer if that's all right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Hi, Dad.
Yes, brother. For your teaching. Who's that? Yes. Something come out.
The Amalekite man.
Hold on. I'm a friend, you know. Yeah, sorry, excuse me, everybody. I'm a friend, you know.
You don't need any friend in this.
What a story. It says, I couldn't read it because it says Pat and Byron, and Pat and Byron.
Pat Byron's iPad.
All right, gotcha. How you doing, Brother Byron?
Here. I'm still here, Joe.
Yes, sir.
The thing here was very nice when I look at it. But everything that we do, and Paul was saying, like you were talking about planting seed. Sometimes we are so anxious, we want to plant the seed today, it go fruit tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have to have patience, and that's where the spirit comes in.
Yeah.
We have to have patience. Even when we're talking to somebody to get them saved, and they say, just pray for them, and sometimes just leave it. And the spirit will do the rest. For when you look at this thing about circumcision, these people want to see those people being circumcised. And if they wasn't circumcised, they are not doing the right thing. But we are not walking in the flesh, we are walking in the spirit. And the spirit is life. Okay? So thank you for the message and the teaching tonight. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yeah.
Can I say that Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, we saw the life of Paul. We see who he was before he got converted. And he had a real encounter with Christ. And if we have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, no matter how rough things are, we are overcomer because he has overcome the world. And the Bible talks about, when the scripture was telling us about about Christ serving Jesus, and because he died, the cross, glory in the cross, not in ourselves, glory in what Jesus did on the cross, because he gave his life. He took upon himself our sins, all that we've done, even before he did it, and he took it to the cross. He gave his life for us, and he gave his life up. He bowed his head, Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is finished. Man's redemption now is paid." He didn't say it was going to be easy, but it is finished. So we are walking in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and Paul captured that. And that's why he could fight. He said, "I'm fight the good fight of faith and hold on to eternal life." And that's, I'm encouraging the brethren, I'm encouraging myself. Let us hold on to eternal life to Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. He overcame the world so we can be an overcomer. Because he owns the world. So we are an overcomer. God bless you. Thank you for the encouraging words. Thank you for spending my time with you tonight. I've been enlightened and encouraged. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I did say we'd have 5 minutes of prayer to end. Just want to say thank you to Joe. For leading us and for giving us the space to share, because I think most people that are on the chat have contributed in some way, and it's just been so refreshing because we are helping each other, and it's not just one person that has the revelation of all the truth. You know, all of us see something different as we study and go through the word. So thanks, Joe. Thanks for Thanks for your time. Thanks for just leading us so ably. And thank you for giving us the space kind of just to share and to help each other grow. And you know, iron sharpens iron, as you always say. And I feel more sharp now.
You can chop down some tree now, brother.
That's it.
You can get some tree and chop it down now.
That's it. And that theme of growing trees and fruits has been a theme before you all came on. In the half hour before, we were talking about Richard a lot, but we talk about growing stuff in the garden and okay. How God speaks to us as we, you know, do those things and how it, you know, shows us so much. We learn so much from growing stuff. And it's been a theme through the word and it's been a theme through this evening. So, yeah. So, yes, we need to chop down some trees and start growing some stuff and let God speak to us in the garden.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Sanya, Grace,
yeah.
Anything that we need to add or say or share before we go? When's the next session going to be?
2 weeks, so that's... is it 11th of November, I think? 11th of November.
Yeah.
And I think that's Janetta again. Yeah? Yeah. Mm. So Janetta will be leading the 11th of November one.
And just to remember that everything's on the website, all the notes from the past sessions are on the website and also the audios as well. If people want to go back and have a look, you know, then they can.
Okay, great. I think that's pretty much it. So as we pray, as we leave, can we remember to pray for Brother Joe and his family, and just pray for the word that we've received this evening, that will find good ground in our hearts, that we will be better at bearing each other's burdens, better brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we leave changed and more equipped to do the work of the Lord as we go.